Well, welcome to worship. My name is John Rosenberg, and I'm a volunteer with the teaching staff here, and it's a privilege to be here. Not only is it the first day of school, but it happens to be the eve of the commemoration of Nikolai Friedrich Severin Grundtvig, 1783 to 1872. Now, some of the people here probably knew that. He's listed in some of the calendars as bishop, renewer of the church, pastor, historian, patriot, and hymn writer. And in some ways, I suppose he's a perfect, at least an appropriate saint to commemorate, to have on the first day of school because of his deep and abiding commitment to education. And he's also a very appropriate saint for us here at Holden and for our theme because in many ways he was a gifted clay jar who carried the treasure of the gospel. And we want to begin with a reading from Ephesians, which are some verses that Bishop Hansen alluded to in at the recent ELCA churchwide assembly. So a reading from Ephesians.
A reading from Ephesians. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles by birth, whose men were called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For Christ is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So Christ came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
When you Google Grundtvig, one of the first links that you discover is to the European Union's program for adult education, which is named for him because of his commitment to education, especially to education for adults. Grundtvig had a deep love for all things Danish, language, culture, the nation. He was one of the pioneers of the Danish folk school movement, which sought to enrich the total life and experience of ordinary people. And in that sense, I think he's a good person for us to think about in the spirit of Holden. He was a student of Anglo-Saxon and Norse mythology who translated Beowulf into Danish. He was a writer and a poet who believed that truth is conveyed more clearly through poetry than through prose. He wrote or translated over 1,000 hymns, 7 of which are in our ELW. And even the people who disagreed with him theologically loved his hymns. Along with Soren Kierkegaard, he was probably the most important Danish theologian in the 19th century. But for all of his gifts and accomplishments, Grundtvig, like all of us, was a clay jar, the first century equivalent of a paper cup. The first sermon that he ever preached was he was covering for his father who was ill, and the title was, "Why Has the Lord's Word Disappeared from His House?" And it caused such an uproar that he was immediately fired from that position. In 1826, he preached another sermon, and he was forced to resign as a result of that one. And he spent the last 33 years of his life as a chaplain at a workhouse. Eventually, he was made a bishop, but without a diocese. And it was almost as though the church wasn't quite sure what to do with him, so they said, well, we're going to make this guy a bishop, but we're not going to put him in charge of anything. His influence reached America, maybe through some of you, because American immigrants who came from Denmark, some of whom were known as Grundtvigians or Happy Danes or Dancing Danes, and their focus was on the living word of the Spirit of Christ versus the dead words of Scripture. They emphasized baptism and the covenant of grace that baptism represents, symbolized in the Apostles' Creed. And they embraced poetry and culture and experience and Christian humanism. And in that sense, I think, you know, they are sort of a spiritual forebears of Holden. If they had to pick a verse, I suppose the Grundtvigians might have picked the one from Philippians 4. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Well, in contrast to the Grundtvigians, and in tension with them was another group of Danish immigrants who were part of the Intermission movement. And the Intermission also had some admirable traits and some focuses. They focused on small group gatherings for prayer and for the study of Scripture. They believed very strongly in the priesthood of all believers and that the church was the work of both lay and clergy. They believed in the renewal of spiritual practices, repentance, and personal transformation, and the experience of faith. They believed in youth ministry, in works of compassion, and in the importance of mission. And you can also see some of their legacy and influence here at Holden. Well, as you might imagine, as you hear those about those two groups of Danish immigrants, they didn't always see eye to eye or agree with each other, and so they lived in tension with one another. E. Clifford Nelson, in his book, The Lutherans in North America, says this: "The Intermission adherents regarded the Grundtvigians as doctrinally unsound, worldly, and generally defective spiritually." And I read that and I said, well, that sounds like an email that somebody sent my council president about me now. The Grundtvigians, on the other hand, believed that those associated with the Intermission movement were narrow, self-righteous, and sectarian, which goes to show that there's no one who can insult you like a member of your family. Well, eventually the Grundtvigians and the Intermission Danes resolved their tension by actually splitting into two different Lutheran denominations. Unfortunately, all too many tensions are resolved in that way by splitting the sheets and separating. There are times certainly when that is necessary, when people can't get along and they need to part the ways. But it remains to be seen whether this will be the result, for example, in our ELCA, as we're living in the tensions of our relationship during these times. Which brings us back around to that reading from Ephesians, in which the author is addressing another community that is in tension with itself, this time between the Gentiles and the uncircumcised aliens from the commonwealth of the uncircumcised aliens who are in tension with the commonwealth of Israel and the Jews, the heirs of the promises of God to Abraham and Sarah, and these two groups of people that don't seem to be able to quite live without each other, but don't seem to be able to quite live with each other, are in this community. And rather than trying to resolve that tension or relieve the tension by suggesting that the two form, you know, separate communities, what the author of Ephesians goes on to say is that both of these groups have something in common, and that something is Christ Jesus, who, as he or she says, is our peace, who has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. And then when you go on in that reading in verse 19, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone." And then here's the punchline. "In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." The dwelling place for God is not built by breaking the tension, but rather by incorporating the tension into the very structure itself. And I thought that sounded like an interesting idea, but I needed to check on it with an actual engineer to find out if that was really a real thing. And so if you could indeed build a structure by incorporating tension to actually make it stronger. So I checked with my favorite engineer, Paul Haynes, and asked him if that could happen, if that was indeed the case. And he gave me an explanation that had something to do with rebar and concrete that I didn't really understand. But he basically said, yes, in fact, in engineering, you can actually build a structure and make it stronger by making the tension work for you instead of against you. And so the letter from Ephesians gives us this image of God as the engineer, who must have also known this, because in 1988, when the ELCA was formed, the new Lutheran dwelling that God is in sometimes brought together both the Grundtvigians and the Intermission Danes after so many years of separation. So that's the legacy of Grundtvig for us here today. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, creator, redeemer, and spirit of life. We praise you for men and women you send to call the church to its tasks and renew its life. And especially on this day, we give thanks for your servant, Nikolai Friedrich Severin Grundtvig. Raise up in our own day teachers and prophets and poets inspired by your spirit, whose voices give strength to your church and proclaim the beauty and the reality of your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord, who lives and moves with you in the Spirit, one God, evermore. Amen. I want to close by doing two very Grundtvigian things. And one of them is to ask you to turn in your ELW to page 105. And we will confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand together as we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And then I invite you to turn to one of my favorite hymn of Grundtvig's, which is number 627. And we're not going to sing all the verses, you'll be happy to know, but we're going to sing verse 1, and then we're going to go over to the alternate texts and sing alternate 2 and alternate 3 on the right-hand side, and then we'll close with verse 5. So 1, alternate 2, alternate 3, and 5. God, Creator, bless us and keep us. May Christ be ever light for our lives. May the Spirit of love be our guide and path for all of our days and nights. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.